on my back. I keep a red bone on my side. And there's people all across the land, from East Kentucky down to Alabama. Whole lot like I am all the time, in an outlaw state of mind.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, December 19th, 2019 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And as always, a wild and dystopic ride it is. But you know what? We're not talking about that. It's the Christmas season and we are attempting to focus in unique you know, albeit Road Warrior Radio fashion, on the good news. We're trying to focus on the good news and just stick to that mainly this holiday season. See if we can do some of that again today. In spite of all of the shenanigans going on, the impeachment thing, is that still a thing? Is that still happening? My goodness. And couple of headlines, trending stories, quickly before we dive into some of the good news. Memories can be injected and survive amputation and metamorphosis. No, we don't want to focus on that. That's a trending story. Nautilus article earlier this month. And these are the kinds of things that goad one's cynicism. Why on earth someone would, you know, it kind of reminds me of, I guess, why people celebrate the anniversary of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And, you know, speaking of that, not to get too far afield before we even get started, I've mentioned Chuck Missler a few times recently. And in one of the recent broadcasts, I even mentioned the warnings that guys like Alan Watt and Chuck Missler sounded or have sounded. Alan Watt still is, obviously, but, and that's an interesting combination you probably won't hear anywhere else. But Chuck Missler on Halloween as a gateway, that was an interesting 1997. An invitation to the occult. So it's, you know, it's just interesting that, that's something you can find on, Amazon, I guess, which is, I think is interesting. But that's not the subject of our broadcast today. There's even, apparently that series has been posted on YouTube as well. Something for people to listen to perhaps around that time of year, but now we're not doing that. We're not doing that. So we're not focusing on these kinds of things. That would be death cult stuff. We're not doing that. Ah, maybe it's this one. Why your brain needs exercise. That's a Scientific American story. Another trending article. Why your brain needs exercise. The evolutionary history of humans explains why physical activity is important for brain health. Well, yes. It's important to exercise your brain, but you don't want to just feed it skull candy, as they say. You want to make sure that you put some good things in there. And that's what we try to do on this network and what I try to do on this broadcast in particular. So it's kind of the reason for taking time out and focusing on the good stories in spite of all the other, you know, stuff happening around us that just never ends. I think it was Bob Marley who said evil doesn't sleep or take a day off, and so, you know, we can't either. Paraphrasing. So there was one other entry I didn't get to yesterday. I should have. I was remiss, but there was another armistice entry, another truce sent to me by Larry, and so that entry, we will begin today's broadcast with the Civil War, Christmas on the Rappahannock. And it's an interesting story. Takes you back in time. It's kind of a Mark Twain sort of account, almost. You know, it's reminiscent of that. Wonderful. Well, and horrible in ways too, but so the article from battlefields.org, Christmas on the Rappahannock, a personal letter, diary entry. There was no worse time to be a soldier than the dead of winter. Far from home and freezing cold, the enlisted men of the Union and Confederate armies often struggled to perform their duties or even just survive in the harsh weather. Thousands of men died from exposure or disease throughout the war, to say nothing of the horses or mules that could make life just that much more difficult for the survivors. Fed up with the conditions on the front, many turned their thoughts to home, and failing to return to their families via desertion, tried to replicate what they could with their comrades to keep back the melancholy and drudgery of winter, if only for a while. The following is a story from the Civil War published in Harper's Weekly in 1886 by Reverend John Paxton, a veteran from the 140th Pennsylvania Volunteer Infantry. Paxton's account takes place on Christmas Day, just after the Union failure at the Battle of Fredericksburg, while performing the often miserable duty of watch patrol. While on patrol, Paxton and his comrades come upon a group of Confederate soldiers standing across the Rappahannock River. And instantly, and instead of fighting, the two sides show each other signs of Christmas cheer. This would not be the last so-called Christmas truce between the North and South, and such truces would not be contained to the 19th century. The famous truce on Christmas Day between British, French, and German soldiers during World War I is one example. It should also be noted that all of these truces were entirely unofficial. Soldiers that exchanged gifts on one day would fire on each other the next, but these stories can give us a lesson about the importance of empathy to one's enemies, or presumed anyway, and peace and goodwill toward men. So Christmas on the Rappahannock by Reverend John R. Paxton. Gentlemen, the chair of the professor of the mathematics is vacant in this college. Permit me to introduce to you Captain Fraser. Rah, rah, rah. And away we went and enlisted to go to Richmond. It took us 3 years to get there. No wonder there were so many long streets to make our way through, so many hills to climb, so many stone walls to batter down, so many pickets to clear out of the way. It was as hard as a road to travel as the steep and stony one to heaven. No preaching, sir. Can't you forget the shop? Don't you know that you have squeezed yourself into that faded jacket and are squirming with a flushed face and short breaths behind the sword belt, which had caused a rebellion in Meteores? I started for Richmond in July 1862, a lad 18 years old, a junior in college, and chafing to be at it. The double quicket after John Brown's soul, which, since it did not require a knapsack or 3 days' rations or a canteen or a halt during the night for sleep, was always marching on. On the night before Christmas 1862, I was a dejected young patriot, wishing I hadn't done it. Shivering in the open weather, a mile back of the Rappahannock, on the reserve picket, and exposed to a wet snowstorm. There was not a stick of wood within 5 miles of us, all cut down, down, even the roots of trees, and burned up. We lay down on our rubber blankets, pulled our woolen blankets over us, spooned it as close as we could to get to steal warmth from our comrades and try not to cry. Next morning, the snow lay heavy and deep, and the men, when I wakened and looked about me, reminded me of a church graveyard in winter. Fall in for picket duty. There come Moore, McMaus, Paxton, Perrin, Pollock. Fall in. We fell in, of course, no breakfast, chilled to the marrow, snow a foot deep. We tightened our belts on our empty stomachs, seized our rifles, and marched to the river to take our 6 hours on duty. It was Christmas Day, 1862. And so this is war, my old me said to himself, while he paced in the snow his 2 hours on the river's bank. And I am out here to shoot that lean, lank, coughing, cadaverous-looking butternut fellow over the river. So this is war. This is being a soldier. This is the genuine article. This is the H. Greeley's On to Richmond. Well, I wish he were here in my place, running to keep warm, pounding his arms and his breast to make the chilled blood circulate. So this is war. Tramping up and down this river my 50 yards with wet feet, empty stomach, swollen nose. Alas, when lying under the trees in the college campus last June, war meant to me martial music, gorgeous brigadiers in blue and gold, tall young men in line, shining in brass. War meant to me tumultuous memories of Bunker Hill, Caesar's 10th Legion, the charge of the 600. Anything but this. Pshaw, I wish I were home. Let me see. Home. God's country. A tear? Yes, it is a tear. What are they doing at home? This is Christmas Day. Home. Well, stockings on the wall, candy, turkey, fun, Merry Christmas. And in the face of the girl I left behind, another tear? Yes, I couldn't help it. I was only 18, and there was such a contrast between Christmas 1862 on the Rappahannock and the other Christmases. Yes, there was a girl, too. Such sweet eyes, such long lashes, such a low, tender voice. Come, move quicker. Who goes there? Shift the rifle from one aching shoulder to the other. Hello, Johnny, what are you up to? The river was narrow, but deep and swift. It was a wet cold, not a freezing cold. There was no ice, too swift for that. Yank, with no overcoat, shoes full of holes. Nothing to eat but parched corn and tobacco. And with this darn Yankee snow a foot deep, there's nothing left, nothing, but to get a cough by way of protesting against this infernal ill-treatment of the body. On that note, we'll be right back. Stick around.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, December 26, 2019 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a belated Christmas to you. Merry Christmas. Did you notice that people weren't saying that this season? I noticed that people weren't saying anything. I mentioned it last week. We went through a period of years where it was a controversy and, oh my goodness, how dare you, you know, appropriate your culture on me. But now I think people are just exhausted and sort of worn out. I had conversations recently about this stuff. I think that, you know, in network marketing circles, they used to say, talk to somebody, you know, what do they call it? They call it something. Propositioning people, basically. about a network marketing, you know, business opportunity. And they would say in their gatherings, people are living lives of quiet desperation. I think we've gone beyond that. I think that was true, but I think now we are in a place where people are living lives of quiet misery, generally speaking. But it's all fine because, well, like Bertrand Russell wrote in The Impact of Science on Society, remember he wrote diet injections and injunctions will combine from a very early age. What's the vaccine schedule now? 72. You don't need it, but you need it. So it's voluntary compliance, meaning mandatory, but not mandatory. You have to buy into it, you know, because best control is imposed from within. Anyway, diet injections and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable, and any serious criticism of the powers of evil will become psychologically impossible. Even if all are miserable, all will believe themselves happy because the government will tell them that they are so. And I think that's kind of where we're at these days. It's, you know, I mean, Huxley talked about the differences and kind of where we're at, you know, in that Ultimate Revolution speech, among other moments, you know, juxtaposing Brave New World and 1984. But I think that's where we're at. You know, speaking of Brave New World, the pharmacologically sedated and inert masses who really don't have much in the way of relationships. Their relationships are sort of shallow and not very meaningful. I've had this conversation a couple of times. Some people notice, but I don't think most people even notice. And what's interesting to me is It's a Wonderful Life is a it was voted one of the 100 best films of all time. Classic. Frank Capra, It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart, Donna Reed, and, you know, a number of other very interesting and, you know, prominent figures, Lionel Barrymore, Ward Bond, a number of other folks. Bert and Ernie, as the story goes, got, you know, on Sesame Street, got their names from Bert the cop and Ernie the cab driver. Anyway, Donna Reed, obviously, Mary Hatch Bailey, was considered very fetching, you might say. And it's just interesting, you look back at some of these folks, you know, Donna Reed actually spoke to this issue back, I think, in an interview in 1984. And I'll talk more about that on the other side of this break. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Public Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartache when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. So Donna Reed, that's interesting. I feel like I'm having deja vu. I think I've talked about this before. Maybe not. Anyway, you go to the Oracle Illusion entry, the Wikipedia entry for Donna Reed, and down around the section titled The Donna Reed Show, you find this stuff. So, you know, obviously television, movies, popular culture, pop culture, which as I understand it was a term that was really coined or at least significantly popularized by the Frankfurt School and Theodore Adorno in particular. And what does that mean? Well, it's worth looking into for those who don't know. So television has always had, you know, a what they call forward thinking or progressive sort of leaning, generally speaking. I think we all know that. But it's interesting. I think we need to define terms. I wouldn't say, you know, forward in this case. I think that's disingenuous, and so is progressive, because I think Santayana was right. Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. So anyway, under the section titled Donna Reed, you have these words. Some feminists criticized the show, the Donna Reed Show, asserting that it promoted submissiveness among housewives, which is sort of ironic, because it was more of, you know, well, continuing, in a 1979 interview, Reed, who had raised four children, responded, "I played a strong woman who could manage her family." That was offensive to a lot of people. In a 1984 interview, Reed said of her show, "I felt that I was making for women a statement. This mother was not stupid. She wasn't domineering, but she was bright and, I thought, rather forward-thinking, happily married." Well, you know, I mean, you could do worse. And that's not to condone certain things. I'm the one who says, you know, citing Thomas Jefferson, writing to Samuel Kirchhoff, "A departure from principle in one instance becomes a precedent for second, that second for a third," and so on. But, you know, you could do worse. There's certainly worse today, and I don't think you could find something that is, you know, this would be considered completely archaic, you know, from the Stone Ages by today's standards, I think. When in actuality, we could have made better choices all along, so to speak. But skipping ahead, down under the section titled Later Career, is the point that I was getting to. So, Miss Ellie Ewing, how many of us knew as young people, like myself, that this was, you know, America's housewife? This was Mrs. Mary Hatch Bailey. Who knew? I mean, I didn't put it together in those years. So this is kind of a thing, though. This happens. It's a generational thing. Anyway, under that section, it reads, in 1984 and 85, in the 1984-85 season of the television series Dallas, Reed replaced Barbara Bel Geddes as Miss Ellie Ewing. Of the show, Reed explained in a 1984 interview, and this is the point I was getting to. In 1984, she said, "One of the main reasons Dallas is successful is the family." This was, I believe, 2 years before she passed away. "One of the main reasons Dallas is successful is the family." And, you know, if you are old enough to recall that television show, you know that it was, you know, controversial. Like, again, like all things television, I would say very Machiavellian, and, you know, the family didn't hold together by traditional standards. They kind of did. They'd fight. There was infighting and feuding, but they would come back together. And by traditional standards, that was kind of radical, I would say. But by comparison today, my goodness. So, to her point, and the quote, she said, "One of the main reasons Dallas is successful is the family. They all stick together. They may squabble, but they pull for one another and live under one roof," which is really tribal. Really tribal. And it's not true anymore. This is 1984. She said, "And I think deep down, everyone misses that." Isn't that interesting? And so, where are we today with the cultural appropriation and this and that, don't, you know, but don't appropriate your gender on me kind of thing, and what kind of wacky place that people would even buy into that? Anyway, I think people miss that, and not even deep down. I think, you know, again, it's a sort of conflict that everyone battles. We are told if you turn on the television, and it's probably better in most cases not to, or you go to the movies or anything, especially with the sort of A-list television, the commercials are hardcore. Like if you watch Monday Night Football or any of that stuff, there's as much cultural appropriation and those kinds of things. There's as much political messaging and social engineering going on as there is advertising. But I guess that's sort of redundant, isn't it? So I think that people in America miss this. Who doesn't? You know, bad guys all agree, as I've said before, that man is a gregarious animal. And from Aristotle on forward, it's an observation that has been made and exploited in the Bernaysian and post-Bernaysian social engineering world and culture. Cultural engineering. It's a point that's exploited. And so this point about people being tribal is interesting. About a television show, it's successful because its success was the family. They were a tribal bunch. And today, I mean, I've mentioned from time to time, Afghanistan and Afghani people get the slight, the rub from the Western media because they're fiercely tribal or considered fiercely tribal. And that's considered by the, you know, the Fabian socialists as unacceptable. You have to forego the tribe. You have to forego yourself. There can be no self unless there is the collective first, the state. And some people just aren't buying it. So you see it once in a while in the headlines. I wonder if I can find one. Yeah, like this. 1981, Afghan rulers fiercely traditional tribes. New York Times. That kind of thing. So, again, from Aristotle to the New York Times, man is a gregarious animal. But I think this is something that people do miss. And so the point is this, to sort of skip ahead and then to move forward on other things. The point is this. I think this is something, this tribal nature, man being a gregarious animal, as certain folks have observed over the centuries and millennia. But the particular appeal and attraction of the family is something that is sort of irreplaceable and has been under direct and considerable attack for more than 100 years. Speaking of the Fabian clan, the plebeian family, that is, you know, because there are folks, the oligarchic class, they are fiercely tribal, but, you know, do as I say, don't do as I do, is sort of their rule. And I wish that people could see that. So the family is, generally speaking, appealing, and should be, the tribal nature of it should be appealing. They should all stick together. And so the point is this, in conversations that I had, one in particular, you know, people talk about the problems. I talk about the problems within America on this broadcast, generally speaking. But what is the antidote? What can be done? And you know, a sort of predicate to that is the people groups who had the fortitude to stand apart from this great social mechanism, who didn't care about electricity or running water in a building or, you know, sanitation systems or anything like that. People who are just as happy with nothing, really, as they were with tchotchkes, those people, where are they these days? Where's the people group that has the fortitude, constitution, to stand apart from this great mechanism? I mean, in the Western world in particular, it's hard, it's difficult, if not impossible, to find those people. And if you find those people today, well, you know, again, we need to appropriate something for those people. We need to raise money and start a charity because these people shouldn't be living like this, and we're going to impose that on them. And never mind the fact that through graft and greed and corruption, most of the money that gets raised ostensibly to help these folks finds its way into other folks' pockets. So never mind that. Anyway, that's a cynical perspective, I admit. But the point is, in one particular conversation, talking about what do you do? What's the solution? You know, the breakdown of the family, it doesn't have to break down if we're paying attention, because we're sort of complicit in that, in at least some context, to at least some extent. We all become complicit. And there are a lot of things we could say, you know, don't drug your children, whether it's vaccines or, you know, FDA-approved medication versus illicit whatever. You know, what's the difference? I think Alan Watt tells us that very well. You know, somebody, the pen is mightier than the sword. Someone with the stroke of a pen says this is legal and that is not. So these days it seems to have very little, if anything, to do with right or wrong. It has more to do with how do you socially engineer things, and how do we all, you know, how many palms can we, how many of our own palms can we grease in the process of socially engineering the herd? Again, that's cynical. So there are a lot of things that we could say, you know, don't send little Johnny and Sally to public schools or indoctrination, all kinds of things we could point to. But I submit it's this family unit in particular that should be focused on, and to be kind and gentle and gracious and merciful to one another is particularly important. And from there, obviously, we should reach out. And here's just a sort of punctuating thought. One of the reasons that I mention, and this is in that context, you know, being kind and gracious and merciful, gentle, meek and mild to one another. I mentioned the Irving Berlin story usually around this time of year. I mentioned it last week, I think last Wednesday. And what is particularly enamoring about the Irving Berlin story is when he met Ellen MacKay, he signed over the rights to his most successful work entirely to her. So he was saying, regardless of what happens between us, you know, if we are married forever like they were, 63 years inseparable until her passing, or if, you know, you have it annulled and we're married for a week, regardless, he signed the rights to his most successful work over to her, his most successful song. Those rights were entirely signed over to her, so that no matter what happened, because, you know, as the story goes, her father disinherited her because of their marriage and said, you know, fine, I'm writing you out of my will. I'm writing you off. You get nothing. So Irving Berlin said, this is my best. And he gave her his best. And so how often do we do that with one another? How often do we do that, especially with family? People get together these times of year, but how often do we give one another our best? Just a question. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Back. Final segment of the first hour of today's broadcast, this Thursday, December 26th, 2019. And just one other little point along similar lines in this final segment. It's interesting, you know, so it's been noted that Donna Reed was raised Methodist. I think her faith was a large contributing factor in her wholesome demeanor and that sort of portrayal. I don't think that was a coincidence or an accident. It's interesting. It's football time of year. Things are starting to get interesting and heat up. So, you know, allegedly, so people say. And Vince Lombardi is usually thought of around this time, you know, in certain circles, legendary Green Bay Packers coach, Vince Lombardi. And if you go to his Oracle Illusion Wikipedia entry, you'll see this. Although Lombardi was noted for his gruff demeanor and iron discipline, quote unquote, he was far ahead of his time. Oh, was he? In creating a supportive environment for gay players. Happy players. And he emphatically challenged existing Jim Crow laws and provided leadership to break the color barrier in football. He once said that he, quote, viewed his players as neither black nor white, but pack or green. And I just wonder why that has to be a thing. I mean, it's obvious in dialectical fashion. If you want to collide things together to move them along a certain line to get to a certain place, this is what you do. You make an issue where there is none. Far ahead of his time. Well, it's also interesting if you go to VinceLombardi.com and you go to the quotes page, you will see on the officially managed page for Vince Lombardi, managed by the family, under the section titled Faith, quotes about faith, he said, I believe in God. I derive my strength from daily mass and communion. When we place our dependence in God, we are unencumbered and we have no worry. In fact, we may even be reckless insofar as our part in the production is concerned. This confidence, this sureness of action is both contagious and an aid to the perfect action. The rest is in the hands of God. And this is the same God, gentlemen, who has won all his battles up to now. Isn't that interesting? So could it be that Vince Lombardi's faith had something to do with his kind treatment of folks that, you know, in this portrayal, others seem to have fallen short? I don't think that's a coincidence or an accident either. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.